And we'll just read four verses there. And this is the portion where we get this idea of looking within ourselves personally before coming to this time of communion. The importance of looking within, self-examination. And this service here this morning is for each one of us, whether you participate in a communion service next Sunday here or not. It's for each one of us. We have to look within our own personal lives from time to time, constantly, and see where we are at with the Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians 11, and let's read verses 27 through 30. It reads like this: "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." So this is just following the institution of the Lord's Supper here. Verse 28, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Verse 30, "For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep." Verse 28, that portion in there where it talks about examining ourselves. You know, God's not asking for perfection. He's just wanting us to look within. He wants us to be humble. He wants us to be moving towards Him, to realize that we without Him, we are nothing. And to realize that we have faults and failures, and that we must repent and turn. God wants us to look at ourselves within. And as you look at verse 30, I want you to just help me here. A very simple three words in that verse. What are the three very descriptive words in verse 30? You help me out there, and I'm going to write them up here on the board. Okay, we. All right? What's the other word? Sick. And the other one? Sleep. Okay. Three words that we all understand what they mean. And it's speaking about people. Let's just look at the first word, and that is weak. Weakness. Matthew 26:41 says, "Watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And these three words are just describing what a person looks like that is living a life of sin, living a life without the Lord Jesus, living a life that is in shambles, one that is running the opposite direction rather than running towards the Father. So a person that is like this is a weak person. Matthew 26:41. "Watch and pray, lest ye enter in temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Our flesh by itself is weak. We are prone to weakness. It is only through the Spirit of God that we receive power and strength. It's like driving a car. If you can visualize with me, driving a car, many of you drive cars, and you drive a car and you yourself are steering this car down the road. And you take your hands off the steering wheel, and what happens? For a bit, you're okay. But it doesn't take long, and your car soon is going to the one side or the other. And you leave your hands off of the steering wheel, you know what will happen. There will be a sudden crash. And if we can visualize the Spirit of God in you, that is what is steering your car. That is what is steering your life. And without this, we are weak. Without this, you will crash. This road that we're traveling on is a narrow road. We understand that. And so we need this Spirit of God directing us. The next word there is sick. How many of you like to be sick? Nobody does. We take tablets. We take medicine. We go to the doctor. We do all that we can to avoid getting sick. The minute I feel something coming on, I'm immediately taking things. So we do everything that we can to stay away from being sick. And there's many ways that we can become sick physically today. There's many parts of our bodies that get sick. We may not just be sick all over, but we can have a headache, and we can have a backache. We can have the flu, which kind of affects the whole body. There can be an infection somewhere in your body, and you become sick through that. And I believe so it is in our spiritual lives. There's areas where I can suffer from a sickness, and it can maybe in a small area, but I'm still become sick through it. And so maybe you're not sick and in bed, but maybe there's an infection that is festering somewhere in your life and is causing you great pain and discomfort. God asks us to look inwardly and look within ourselves. Luke 9, verses 1 and 2 said, "Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick." We are called to heal the sick. We're not called to be sick ourselves. We have those times, but we must understand that and take and do what it takes to get out of that sickness, because we are called to heal the sick, to preach the kingdom of God to those that are sick. And in order to do that, I must first be healed. I must first be a healthy person. Luke 6:39, it asks a question. It says, "Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch?" And I think we understand that. Mark 6:56, it says, "Wherever he entered into villages and cities or in the country, they laid those that were sick in the marketplace. They laid those who were sick. They brought them to Jesus and begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched him were made well." Do I need to touch the hem of Jesus' garment? There is healing there when we reach out in faith. The next word is sleep. Romans 13, verse 11. "Knowing this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed." And also another verse in 1 Thessalonians 5:6. "Therefore let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober." I think we understand this sleep is not just a physical sleep. It's talking about a spiritual sleep that we can find ourselves in. How alert are you? How alert am I to what is happening around myself? You know, when you sleep, you're somewhat zoned out. Recently, we had a couple weeks ago, there was a loud thunder during the night, and many of us heard it. But the next morning, I remember talking to someone, and they said they never heard it. So when we're sleeping, we can be pretty much zoned out. We don't know the happenings, and we don't understand what's happening around us because we are sleeping. Now, let's look at these words again. And help me with words that would share just the opposite meaning. Let's start with weak. What's the opposite of weak?
Strong.
Okay, strong. What's the opposite of being sick? Right? Being healthy. And the opposite of sleep?
Awake.
Right? Okay. Is that not the person we are called to be? Strong. Romans 15:1. "We then who are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak," or New King James Version says, "the scruples of the weak," and not to please ourselves. We are called to be those that are strong. Not that we're perfect, that we have all the strength it takes, but as we humble ourselves before God, we become strong through His Word. Healthy. Isaiah 58:8. Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily. Here is health. Here is what we want to experience. And your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. So, as healing takes place, the righteousness goes before us, and the glory of the Lord is seen just behind us as people are around our presence. And then to be awake. 1 Corinthians 15:34, it says, "Awake to righteousness and do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." So we see a complete turnaround. We see going from a weak person to a strong. We go from sick to healthy and from sleeping to being awake. The title here for the message is entitled Turn and Live. Turn in your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 18. We want to read just a number of verses there. Ezekiel 18. Ezekiel here is sharing to the children of Israel, and his message to them is to turn and live. He wants them to do just what happened here as we looked at these 3 points. He wanted them to turn and be just the opposite person. Turn and live. And before we read the portion that I have chosen to read, let's just look at the first 4 verses of Ezekiel 18, verses 1 through 4, just to give us a bit of a background. And as we look at this, look at the many times that it talks about this being a personal choice, something that it's up to you. It's not about the other person. It's you. You need to look within yourself. I need to look within myself. Ezekiel 18, verses 1 through 4. The word of the Lord came to me again, saying, "What do you mean when you use this proverb concerning the Israel, saying, 'The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge'? As I live, says the Lord God, you shall no longer use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the father, as well as the soul of the son, is mine. The soul who sins shall die." And now that's it's just bringing out the thought here that goes throughout this chapter of this being a personal choice. It's not about a father or a mother, but it's the choice that you make. It's the choice that I make. Now, let's go to verse 19, and we will read verse 19 to the end of the chapter. And as we read, I may stop and make a few comments. But notice and keep in mind this thought of the choice being made up to you. Each one of us taking full responsibility for your lives and the decisions that you make. Verse 19. "Yet you say, 'Why should the son not bear the guilt of the father? Because the son has done what is lawful and right and has kept all my statutes and observed them, he shall surely live.' The soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself." You see there what's happening? It's the person's choice. Righteousness or wickedness. Verse 21. "But if a wicked man turns from all of his sins which he has committed, keeps all of my statutes and does what is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of the transgressions which he has committed shall be remembered against him. Because of the righteousness which he has done, he shall live. Do I have any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, says the Lord, and not that he should turn from his ways and live? But when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and does according to all the abominations that the wicked man does, shall he live? All the righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered. Because of the unfaithfulness of which he is guilty, and the sin which he has committed, because of them he shall die. Yet you say, 'The way of the Lord is not fair.' Hear now, O house of Israel, is it not my way which is fair, and your ways which are not fair? When a righteous man turns away from his righteousness, commits iniquity, and dies in it, it is because of the iniquity which he has done that he dies. And there again, it's pointing to this decision, to the individual. It's because of the iniquity which he has done that he becomes lost. Verse 27. Again, when a wicked man turns away from the wickedness which he committed and does what is lawful and right, he preserves himself alive. Because he considers, or because he examines himself, and that's what we're called to do, because he considers, examines, and turns away from all of the transgressions which he has committed, he shall surely live. He shall not die. Yet the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is not fair. O house of Israel, is it not my ways which are fair, and your ways which are not fair? Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, every one according to his ways, says the Lord God. Repent and turn from all of your transgressions, so that iniquity will not be your ruin. Verse 31, cast away from you all the transgressions which you have committed, and get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. For why should you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies, says the Lord God. Therefore, turn and live. Turn and live. That's the message that Ezekiel was giving, and it's the message that God has given to us today. I don't know if you, as we read through there, if you noticed the differences. It talks about living and dying. It talks about righteousness and wickedness. It talks about being fair and unfair. And it gives that appeal to turn and to repent. That's the whole thrust. And you know, you cannot truly repent without turning. And you cannot truly turn unless you repent. The two go hand in hand. Where is God, as you make this personal now, where is God asking you to repent and turn from? You know, sometimes we think of the acts of the children of Israel, and we think of the huge sin that they were involved in, and the awfulness of it. And we kind of think, well, we understand why God was so, you know, saddened by them. But yet, much of what they did is problems and things that we struggle with today. Where is God asking you to repent from and to turn from? Just go back to the three words that we first looked at and ask yourself, where are you weak? Where are you weak, and where would, or what would a complete turnaround look in the area of weakness in your life? What do you do with temptations that come your way? The children of Israel were tempted, and they did wrong things, but I must make it personal for myself. What do I do with temptations? Are you experiencing victory when the temptation comes? Or are you some weak person? God wants us to experience victory. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says it like this: no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Their strength as we follow God. Ask yourself the question, where are you sick? Are you sick? And what would it take for you to experience full health? Maybe you're just experiencing an infection that is festering and causing you some discomfort. There is healing there, but only through Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:14 says, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless. Or I just thought of another word, without infection, without that spot, without that bothersome area. We can be blameless before the Father. Ask yourself the question, are you awake? Or are you sleepwalking? Are you zoned out? And what would it take to have your eyes closed? and your mind alert to the Christian warfare that we are in? Are you awake spiritually in your own private time with God, in your devotional life, in your prayer life? I think that's something we all find ourselves struggling in at times. 1 Corinthians 15:34 says, "Awake to righteousness." You know, don't sleep your life away. Awake to righteousness. Do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. As I was preparing for this message, a song came to my mind. And I remember the song from years ago. It tells you how old I am. Probably almost 40 years ago. I remember the song. I was probably, might not have been quite 40 years ago. I was probably 10, 11, or 12. And I just remember this song, parts of the song. And my mind went to the song. I didn't know where to find it. It's an older song. And I thought I knew of a group that sang it, but they didn't. But then I had someone help me find the song and was able to download it. And I want to have that here as a closing this morning. The title of the song is called "A Fugitive from God," and it speaks of a person that is running. That's running away from God rather than running to God. It speaks of this idea of turning around and finding God. Turning around and finding life. Turn and live. It's the same message that the prophet Ezekiel shared many, many years ago to the children of Israel when they were running, as it were, a sense, or as they were roaming in the wilderness without God as their leader. We'd like for you to just listen to the words. It has some pictures to go with it. And then just following that, we'll close then in a prayer.
How long will you run away?
just bow our heads in a prayer. Thank you, God, that you're a God that will accept us as we come back to you. Thank you that we don't have to run away, but we can come to you humbly, seeking for restoration and seeking for those areas in our hearts and lives that you have touched and we need healing in, we need awakening in, we need life in. And I pray that as your word has been shared, and if there's any heart or life here, God, that has been running, maybe for just a brief time, maybe for a longer time, whatever the case, as we examine our hearts and our lives, I pray that we would be willing to give that area over to you fully. Thank you that you know us, and the choice is ours personally. It's not what happened to me long ago. It's not because of someone being at the wrong place or temptation that came, but it's my choice, and I pray that that choice would become one that we would choose you. So draw our hearts to you, continue to speak through your Spirit, and I pray that your Spirit would be that which leads us and guides our hearts into all purity and holy living. So continue to guide us and keep us. We pray this in your name. Amen.